Hey, you guys, doing good? I just feel like the Lord wants to do something really great today, really special today. I've been feeling a weight on me for a few days. And I want to do something a little different. Can we just kind of slow down and take a second? I just want to posture myself for the presence of God, yeah? We're going to read Psalms 16 together. My knees don't like me. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance, and my cup maintain. Sorry, go back. I didn't see the last part. Can you go back to 5 real quick? You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We love you, Lord. We honor you. Your presence is life. Guys, just talk to him right now in your heads, to yourselves. Let's invite him. Let's make space for him. God, you're so good. I want to be a lover of your presence, God. This posture right here, this is the posture of the surrendered life. My dad says something a lot. He says, the level of your surrender to God will determine the depth of your relationship with him. Oops. Think about that. The level of your surrender to God will determine the depth of your relationship with him. God's not far away. Did you know that he wants to be with you more than you want to be with him? He eagerly awaits. He knocks. He stands at the door and he knocks. I'm getting ahead of myself here, so. I've been starving. My spirit has been starving because we're called to abide with him. And we miss it so often. I've grown up with the Lord my whole life. But I don't interact with him every day. I was made for him, but I don't interact with him every day. I don't acknowledge him every day. I was reading 2 Timothy 3. The Lord spoke to me when I was reading. Let's read it real quick. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. He's talking about Christians. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. I read this and I saw myself. That's not what the church is supposed to look like. I was reading that and God spoke to me. He said, Alex, I want you to be a lover of my presence. The title of my message is After His Heart. See, God wants to raise up a bride. He wants to raise up a bride. Not a slave. Not a lawyer. Not a judge. Do you know what I mean? We take on all these roles that we think are our calling. It's our job to advocate for God. It's our job to judge people according to God's law. It's our job to slave away for God. He wants a bride. He's looking for a lover. He wants to dwell with us. I know this is really hot and heavy really fast, but this has been so heavy on my heart that the bride is not being a bride. We're doing all those other things. We love money. How much do we stress about finances? Right? We're haughty. We're full of anger. How quickly do we lash out or get frustrated at people? God wants a bride. He wants intimacy. He has so much more for us. So much more. Routine's not enough for me. Church is not enough for me. I don't want to miss him. Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. He sat down to spend time with them. Mary sat at his feet. She delighted in him. She listened to him. And Martha spent all of her time in the other room trying to prepare, trying to make things right, trying to make it look good, trying to clean house. She got frustrated at Mary. Mary, what are you doing? Why aren't you helping? Jesus said, Mary is partaking of me. We got to slow down. This right here. We got to slow down. He's waiting for you. He wants to know you. So you can slave away for him. You can spend your time arguing and advocating for him. You can even spend your time preaching the gospel. You can see miracles. You can see the presence of God set somebody's heart free and never know him. Do you know him? The level of your surrender will determine the depth of your relationship. John 6:43. There's a key word here that I want you to catch. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." That's pretty wild, right? "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he has before? It is the Spirit who gives life." So I skipped a little bit here. So he said all this to them, and they don't understand, and they're about ready to kill him because he's like speaking blasphemy. Like, we're supposed to become cannibals? What are you talking about, Jesus? And even the disciples are frustrated. They don't understand. And Jesus' response is this right here. If you go back to 62, this is his response. He says, verse 62, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." What I want you to catch really is verse 63. He wants to dwell with us. My spirit is starving because I'm made and called to feed on the presence of God. It's the bread of life. The presence of God is the bread of life. That's why Jesus came. It was the manna on the ground for the Israelites. It was the goat caught in the thicket for Isaac. It was the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. It was the power that shut the mouth of the lions. It was the fourth man in the fire. The presence of God. He wants to be with us. He is our provision. He is our life. He's our life. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We're made to be with him. We spend so much of our life worrying and providing for ourselves and scurrying and grabbing and reaching. Don't miss him. Don't miss this. Don't spend your time doing Martha things. Sit at his feet. Get on your knees. He wants to be with you. It's not behavior adjustment. It's a new life. It's a new spirit. If you want to be free of anger and fear, get on your knees. Yeah? If you want to stop worrying about your finances, get on your knees. He's the bread of life. We will never not be hungry. We will always eat and drink. But his presence will make you never hunger again, never thirst again. He's not talking about eating his skin. He's not ripping flesh off and handing it to his disciples. We're supposed to partake of his spirit. He wants us to partake of his spirit as he partakes of our praise. He's in love. We can't just keep doing the routine. We can't just keep living the busy lives. We got to slow down. We have to see him for who he really is. He's our maker. He's our lover. We are his bride. If we starve our spirits, our whole lives are going to be a struggle. It's going to be a wrestling match between us and our flesh. It's going to be a wrestling match between us and our feelings. Right? And you're going to stumble through life just saying, well, I'm trying. And never truly be free because you're still living by the flesh. Right? You're living cut off from the vine. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. See, if you just get in his presence, he does the work. He prunes you. He shapes you. You don't have to do all the Martha things. Just sit at his feet. Right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. There's the word. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Do you see? It's all the same thing. He's saying the same thing over and over. Unless you abide in me and I in you, you cannot partake. Right? Yes. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Here's the thing, the Christian life really is not supposed to be hard. The only hard part is giving up yourself. The reason it's hard is because you still have a will. The reason it's hard is because you haven't killed your flesh. All he's asking you to give up is what was never yours in the first place. Right? We do have free will until we surrender. Who are we to say that we still have a will if we've surrendered it to him? The depth of your relationship with God is proportional to your surrender. Do you see what I'm saying? God will work it out. God will do the work. God will change you. What's your job? Getting on your knees. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. How many of you feel withered in life? Am I right? How many of you feel like you're starving inside, but you don't know why? Like there's something more to this. Like this can't be it. I followed the Lord for so long. This can't be all there is. And the whole time he's knocking. Let me in. Let me in. Right? He wants to dwell with you. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. You see? You see what I mean? So we go to God like a genie, rub a lamp, hope it works out. It's from abiding in him. It's from the place of on your knees in front of him, in his presence. Your will becoming his, that's when your requests are made known. And that's when he hears them and answers them. Why? Because your will is his. So your prayers are his will. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You don't find sacrificial desire except through the love of God. Until the love of God comes in and changes you and steps into your heart, until you open that door and let him in, your love is selfish. It's self-preservative. It's, I love you, do you love me too? If you don't, I might be a wreck. We place our dependency on all these other things. And we're messed up if they don't work out. And then we wonder why. God, what's going on? But we're supposed to abide in him. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the one that should be feeding us our life. Not anybody else. Not any other thing. We have to connect to the vine. We have to be after his heart, full of his presence. The world doesn't need churchgoers, slaves, lawyers, judges. The world needs people who have been with him. People who are full of his heart. First John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only Son into the world that he might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I just read that. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. Do you see what I'm saying? God changes us. His love changes us. He says, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know what that means? That means that you can't become, that you can't be with him without becoming like him. So he's the one who does the work. He's the one who changes your heart. He's the one who fixes your behavior. He's the one who teaches you his commandments. Do you see what I mean? It's so much easier than you think it is. Because our only job in this is to be with him. That's it. Abide in his presence. Let him change you. Because he will. He will. He'll change you. If you love, it's because you've been with him and know him. If you don't love, you just don't know God. If you carry around a broken heart, if you're offended and hurt by people, if the way your spouse is doing determines the way you're doing, you're not understanding the love of God. Because the love of God is enough. In fact, it's the bread of life. It's the pillar at night. It's the cloud by day. It's the manna on the ground. God put fresh manna on the ground every morning. And the Israelites missed it because they were so wrapped up in themselves. Don't miss it. Don't miss the knocking. Don't miss the sitting at Jesus' feet. Don't be so wrapped up in yourself and your worries and your troubles and your stress that you miss him, because he wants to meet with you. My buddy Patrick is here. Hey, Pat. Love you, buddy. Me and him used to live in Oklahoma because we went to Oral Roberts University together. And sometime after, we both kind of just lived in different places in the city and stayed there for a while after college. And I remember one day me and him planned to hang out, go get lunch. So I went to go pick him up at his place. And when I got there, he was like, yeah, just give me a few minutes to get ready. So I was waiting. And he had roommates. One of his roommates is just this really awesome guy, very, you know, pastoral heart, a little rough around the edges, but he just loves people, you know. And I came across some people that didn't live there, that basically, for whatever reason, it's like they were just prompted to message him in the middle of the night, because they had these three girls had gone to some like hotel party, and they, for whatever reason, when they were there, they felt very in danger, very unsafe. And they just decided, we're going to message this guy to come pick us up. And they'd only met him once. but they didn't know why, but that's what they did. He went, picked him up, brought him, and they just slept in his living room. And the next morning was when I arrived, and they were all sitting out on the porch. And God just prompted me to go out there and sit with them and talk with them. So I just went out there and I sat with them and I just started talking to them, asking them about themselves. And these girls, you know, you could tell that they weren't believers. They didn't adhere to the lifestyles of a believer, right? And they weren't very fond of Christians. But they said, you know, we can't stand most Christians. They said, but we can tell who the real ones are. I was like, what do you mean? They said, well, the real ones, it's hard to look at their faces because their faces glow. They were like, you're a real one. They said that to me. Greatest compliment I've ever gotten. I didn't really believe them, but, you know, all right. I was like, you know that, I told them, I was like, that's crazy. You know that's in the Bible? They were like, nuh-uh. It's like, yeah, check it out. Ephesians 5. Here it is. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sins of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For we were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Last time I was up here, I talked about a vision the Lord gave me. I talked about how we're fighting a different war, how we're not here to pick sides. We're here to be in the world, but not of it. And God gave me this vision. I saw like a dark red, kind of moodish, tinted, like just, you know, picture that as the atmosphere. Everything's dark and red. And as far as the eye can see, are people fighting. And there's like a line in the middle, and there's two sides, and they're fighting each other. And the Lord said, this is the state of the world. And as I looked out among it, I started to notice little lights all over the place on both sides. Both sides. You understand? Little lights everywhere. God, what is that? Those are my people. Those are the ones who have been with me. Those are my followers. And as these little lights were among these people, they would reach out and touch people around them, and those other people would start to light up. And the light would spread. That's the vision I saw. And then he spoke to me and he said, war is coming. I need my church to respond correctly. Guys, we're not going to win if we're doing what the world's doing. You want to know how to win? Get on your knees. Be with him. Damn your will. Take up his. Surrender. Forget about your jobs and your incomes for a second. Slow down and be at his feet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we here for him? Or are we here to serve ourselves and get heaven insurance? Because I promise you that's not how it's going to go. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats, and they're going to say, Lord, the goats over here are going to say, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we do all these things? And he's going to say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. We're here to know him. We're here to surrender. Busyness is a form of sleep. We're lulled to sleep by the worries of life, hypnotized by our day-to-day stresses. We have to learn how to slow down, how to go out to the fields like David. That psalm that I read at the beginning, isn't that a heart that's postured towards surrender? Isn't that a heart that recognizes where the bread of life is? David was after God's heart, right? And God called him a man after his heart. Did David campaign to become king? How hard did he work to gain that position? Not very hard, did he? In fact, he ran, mostly. But you know where he was running? To God. Right? You don't defeat the giants in your life by singing a song about defeating giants and then complaining and wondering why and being sad and asking people to pray for you because you're so pitiful. You defeat the giants by running to God and getting on your knees. You got one job. It doesn't matter what life's throwing at you. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. You got one job. What is it? Getting on your knees. It's very simple, and we make it hard. But I'm telling you, it's such a sweet place to be, on your knees. Because he meets with you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Knock, and the door will be opened. It's such a sweet place to be. Because he loves you. And he'll meet you there. And once you encounter his presence, you're never going to want to go without it. It's a drug. It's addicting. It's so good. You're not missing anything by leaving the world behind. You're not missing anything, guys. Get addicted to him. Don't be lovers of money. Don't be lovers of all these other things that I listed. Remember 2 Timothy 3? God said, be a lover of my presence. David knew how to abide in his presence, how to be a lover of his presence, how to truly take the role of the bride and dwell with him. Like he so desperately desires. Revelations 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to dine with him, and he with me. He wants to partake of your praises as you partake of his presence. He wants to dine with you. It's intimacy. It's an interlocking of spirits. It's a true connection to God that can't be severed. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Remember what I just said? I need my church to respond correctly. Do you see what I mean? Right? It's all the same thing. It's all connected. We have one job. Right? He's knocking. He wants to dine with us. He's not talking about physical food. He's talking about spiritual food. He wants us to partake of his presence as he partakes of our praises and our gratitude. This is how he changes us. It's not behavior modification. It's a new spirit and a new identity. We have a purpose. What's our purpose? Intimacy with God. Matthew 5:16. Now here's how it translates to us. Here's how we switch it up. Right? We're on our knees before the Lord and he changes us. What do we do with that? How do we respond to that change? What's our role here? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They know who the real ones are. They know who's been with him. Because you shine. Do you see what I mean? It's right there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Will you surrender? My dad had a dream a long time ago back at Lighthouse Church. Lighthouse is a church that we kind of all came out of, a lot of us, before Corey started North Elevation. In that dream, he saw people walking out into the foyer from the auditorium, and in the foyer was this thick gold cloud, so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, like this thick gold cloud. And people were walking out into this cloud on their way out of the church, and they were scooping parts of the cloud, bits of the cloud, and they were cramming it in their pockets and leaving. And God spoke to my dad and said, when my people partake of me and they don't share, they're stealing from me. When my people partake of my spirit and they don't share it, they're stealing from me. There's a weight to that. Yeah? We're here for two reasons. To know him and to make him known. Yeah? To know him and to make him known. To shine. Will you surrender? To abide with him, you must surrender your will, your worries, your priorities, your distractions. You will lay it, will you lay it at his feet like Mary? Or will you miss the bread of life like the Israelites did in the wilderness? God had just freed them from slavery. And he was giving them fresh manna every day. And what did they do? They complained. They missed it. They missed the bread that was there. The bread that was to come. Like Martha. So busy that you don't have time. Like the rich young ruler, so weighted by your possessions that you can't let it go. Do you see what I mean? It's all the same thing. He's there. He's knocking. He's sitting in your living room. Lay it at his feet. He's knocking. Don't leave him out in the cold. Be the bride he so desires and bring others with you. Does what I'm saying make sense to you guys? There's more to this than a routine. Don't let your spirit starve. Don't wither away and die. Stay connected to the vine. Don't be the seed that was choked out by the thorns of life. Be the seed that was planted in good soil. Let him water you. Let him change you. Let him prune you so you can bear fruit. He's a good gardener, I promise. He's not going to cut the wrong branch. He's a good father. He's not going to hurt you. He knows what's good for you. Trust him. Can you imagine the life that that rich young ruler would have had if he had just given it all away? If he had just let it go and just followed Jesus? We might have had another book in the Bible. We might have had a 13th disciple. You think about that? Do you understand? He's calling. He's knocking. That's it. That's all I got. Guys, let's take a moment real quick. If your heart is crying out for what I'm saying, if your heart's responding to this, if you're experiencing the presence of God right now, like I am, why don't you just respond to it? Why don't you just open the door? Let him in. Yeah? All you got to do is be with him. He'll do the work. His presence is so sweet. It's the bread of life. It's the manna on the ground. It's all you need. You'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again. This is why we're here. This is why he came. God, I love your presence. Teach me how to abide in it. Teach me how to live on my knees, how to live from my knees. Teach me how to surrender. Prune and cut everything that's not of you so that I can bear more fruit, God. Strip it all away till nothing is left but you. God, don't let us miss you. Help us to recognize you and take hold of you. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of the strange one they don't obey. God, just like David postured his heart as a sheep to the Lord in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. God, we want to posture our hearts to surrender to you. There's no one like you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.